Very pleased to be joined via Zoom right now by the MP for Leeds, Granville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes, Mr. Michael Barrett, who is joining us today to offer some reaction to the federal budget. Mr. Barrett, welcome to my FM.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Is it okay if I call you Michael as
Yeah,
we
for
see?
sure. Of course, yeah.
Excellent. Well, Michael, we'll start off with the broad strokes. We've heard comments from your leader, Pierre Poilievre, on what he thinks of the budget that was tabled yesterday by the Trudeau government. I'd like to get your take on sort of general broad stroke approach, if you could.
Well, look, after 8 years of Justin Trudeau, it's no surprise, but it is disappointing that he didn't stop with the inflationary spending that, of course, is causing so many of the ills that folks are facing in everyday life. $40 billion in new inflationary spending. We know that with the carbon tax having just gone up 23% on April 1st, that Canadians are looking for a break, and they're not going to see that with this budget. It's going to cost $54.1 billion this coming year to service the debt that Justin Trudeau has piled on, putting on more debt than all prime ministers in history combined. And that was a trend that he started immediately on taking office. Now, that number is really important, $54.1 billion, because people across the country are struggling to find a doctor, struggling with wait times for crucial medical appointments and surgeries. But that number, the amount that we're spending on servicing Justin Trudeau's debt, is more than the money that is spent by the federal government on healthcare for Canada from Victoria, British Columbia, to Victoria by the Sea, Prince Edward Island, to Victoria, none of it. This is more money than we're spending on healthcare just servicing the debt. This, of course, is going to do nothing to help low, middle income Canadians, seniors, anyone who's just struggling to get by. And that's kind of the theme that we see here. Lots of big spending promises on housing, for example. And this is the metric that Justin Trudeau uses to judge his success on houses, is by how much he spends. But the more he spends, it seems the more homes cost, with homes costing double what they did now than when he came to office. And the same is true for rent. And the needed down payment now takes up to 25 years for families to save. So this is pretty grim. We would say that Canadians were looking for relief, and they're not going to find that with this latest budget. Conservatives have, of course, put forward what our plan would be, and that includes scrapping the carbon tax, building homes, making sure that we bonus municipalities, cities, that cut permitting times, fixing the budget, stop the inflationary crisis by not adding new debt, finding a dollar of saving for every dollar of spending, and of course, stopping the crime, something that Canadians are feeling right across this country, unsafe in their communities, in their own homes. And that one example of our proposal is for jail and not bail for violent repeat offenders. So these are some of the things that we want to contrast against what Mr. Trudeau has put forward with his latest budget.
Now, I'll ask you to take a look at it, if you will, through the lens of Leeds, Granville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes. What do you see in this particular budget that will address some of the issues, or perhaps not address some of the issues? What is it missing, or what does it have? Is there anything you can pull from it?
Yeah, one thing that we were hopeful, and we had engaged in talks across the aisle for the government to include Bill C-234. This is a bill that had passed the House but came back amended after Justin Trudeau put pressure on Liberal-appointed senators, and that would be to remove the carbon tax from all on-farm heating and cooling. This is incredibly important because we have a cost of living crisis, and the price of the grocery store seems to go up and up and up. And there's not a lot of levers that the government can pull. But one is, of course, how much tax our food producers are paying. Farmers feed our cities, feed our communities. We know that in Leeds, Granville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes, and all of the communities surrounding that, our agricultural producers, they feed us, they feed the world. And this tax, this carbon tax that they ought to have been exempt from, this passed the House of Commons. This would have been a common sense measure for the Prime Minister to include in the budget. It would have made things more efficient. It would have made sense, of course, for all of our local agricultural producers and all of the industries that support them in our community. But also, it would have had the effect of at a minimum, freezing the effect of food price inflation as it comes through the supply chain from the agricultural sector through the transportation sector, and then when it's sold in the grocery stores, the taxes on the farmer, on the trucker, on the grocer is a tax on every Canadian who buys it. So we were very hopeful, but also laid the groundwork for the government, demonstrated that there was public support, including 75% of Canadians and 7 out of 10 premiers who did not support an April 1st carbon tax increase. And of course, we had asked for relief on inflation. You know, the Bank of Canada freezing interest rates again at 5% in their latest announcement, because they're not seeing a response from the government that shows that they're willing to take the necessary steps to stop injecting more cash into the economy so that we have more dollars chasing fewer goods. That dollar for dollar rule that I talked about before, Bob, that would have that effect of helping to reduce the inflationary pressures that we're seeing. So these are things that we were looking for, and I think they were much needed for our community, but we're going to keep pressing. So Bill C-234 is still a live question. We tried this past week on Tuesday, as a matter of fact, on Monday, to have it pass the House in its unamended form. That didn't receive the support of the Liberals, but we're going to keep working to get that bill passed, because frankly, it's in the interests of all Canadians, not just in our community, but right across the country.
I know this is probably a tough question for you to answer, but do you see this particular budget as being a possible downfall of the Trudeau government? For that to happen, the NDP would have to break their agreement. And I'm not asking you to comment on the NDP policy or anything like that, but is this an opportunity, and could we be looking at an election sooner rather than later?
Well, every time we have a confidence vote in the House, it's an opportunity for the will of Canadians to be reflected. And like I said before, with 70% of Canadians opposing the tax increase that that we had on April 1st, this has seen that public pressure has seen a modification to the NDP's posturing on this carbon tax. But we haven't seen them willing to withdraw their support from Justin Trudeau. I've heard some people say that the budget is written in orange ink. It's incredibly expensive, but doesn't do a lot to help the majority of Canadians. And so Jagmeet Singh has had opportunities as recently as March to vote non-confidence in the government. Of course, we encourage him to do so. We think Canadians deserve to have the opportunity to vote in a carbon tax election, to essentially have a referendum on whether or not it's a time for higher taxes like the Liberals and the NDP have proposed, or for lower taxes and powerful paychecks like Conservatives have proposed. So, I'm hope springs eternal, but I am not optimistic that that this will trigger an election. But certainly, should it, we're ready to take our message to Canadians.
And any final comments for your constituents, sir, before I let you go?
No, I guess I'd say, Bob, I appreciate the time today. And while it seems like this can be depressing, a bit of news, so what's in this budget and what's not in the budget is that there's good news. Life wasn't like this before Justin Trudeau, and it's not going to be like that. We're going to restore hope. We're going to make sure that this is a country of big citizens and small government, not like this budget has proposed, a big government and small citizens. So we're looking forward to continuing to work for Canadians up until that we have the opportunity to give them a choice at the ballot box.
MP Michael Barrett, Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today, sir.
A real pleasure. Thank you, Bob.
You're very welcome.